Turns out I just happened to know the perfect person for the job.
I should have brought some of my Mars and Moon ones in. I keep them at home because they're precious.
Yes, she is talking about meteorites from the Moon and Mars that just happened to fall on Earth. And she is Dr. Carolyn Crawford, lover of space rock, naturally, but also an astronomer at Cambridge University. We met to compare our rocks. But first things first, what's the difference between a meteor, meteorite, and meteoroid, but also a comet and an asteroid?
Yeah, it is complicated, and astronomers do love our terminology. So you've got lots of lumps of rock, the debris that you said, floating around in the solar system. Now, if it is made of ice, so like a frozen iceberg, 5-10 kilometres across, smaller, we tend to call it a comet, even though it might have bits of dirt and dust within it. So comets are the icy bodies. Asteroids are the rocky debris. And we won't talk about things called centaurs, which are half ice, half rock, so they're out beyond Neptune. We won't worry about them so much. But basically, you've got your asteroids, which are rocky, and you've got your comets, which are icy. Now, a meteoroid is like a tiny asteroid. You're talking from a few microns across to a few metres across in size. So it's just debris, like the asteroids, left over or from fragments from collisions or protoplanets that's been hanging around for billions of years in the solar system and floating around between the planets, around the sun, following their own orbits. Now, as soon as that meteoroid starts to enter Earth's atmosphere, it becomes a meteor. That's what you know as your shooting star. And that's when you see it burning up in the atmosphere. It sort of excites the air molecules. And you get this trail of ionized particles which shine. And you also get the lump of rock. Even if it's tiny, it'll still give off an amazing amount of light because it's traveling quite fast. Most of them disintegrate in the atmosphere completely. But if they survive to hit the surface of the Earth, then they become a meteorite. So that's the distinction. Meteoroid when it's in space, meteor when it's in air, and meteorite when it's sitting on the ground. You get three basic types. The most common ones are the ones that are rocky. Then you get the iron ones, so that's iron and nickel alloy. And then you get stony iron, which have a mix of the two. This is an example of a stony one that is very nice because you see it's got a mottled appearance.
I dare I say, a bit like when you see various, you know, sometimes I think when I'm walking down the street and you see all the little bits of rock within, what's it called? Pebble dash is what I'm thinking, but in a miniature polished form. Is that a terrible thing to say?
Well, no, you're getting the idea across beautifully there. It is just speckled and you've got these almost like little spherical, we call them inclusions, little bubbles of dust and sort of carbon material that's held within the silicate base. Did you bring this meteorite?
I did.
Okay, let's have a look. See which one you got.
See how much do you know about meteorites?
It's a nickel iron one.
Gosh, that's impressive. I was going to bring out the label because I couldn't even remember what it...
Sicotalin?
No.
So it's not sicotalin. It's not compo di siela because it's metal rather than...
Oh, controversial.
Oh, it is. Compo di siela.
I'm going to ask you how much you can tell me about this, because this is Connie's meteorite that she won. And other than giving it a quick look up on the internet, we know nothing.
This is one of the more common falls. You've got two very famous falls. You've got the Campo di Cielo. And this is part of the Sicotalin fall. I mean, I like this one. You can see how it's just sort of melted as it's fallen through the air. It's all kind of deformed and ruffled up. I like it particularly.
It reminds me of, do you remember the Futurists, the painters, the Futurists? You know how they had these very choppy, jagged types of paintings? That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah. Or it just looks like a parrot. Look at the shape. But it is deformed. I mean, you look at that and you see a mangled bit of metal and you think, gosh, that metal's gone through a lot to get to be that shape. So this fell in the Sicotalin Mountains in 1947.
So this one's much more recent. Your one's much more recent.
My one was, yes, this one, they actually saw the fireball through the sky. They saw the meteorite coming in and later found the pieces. Whereas the Campo di Cielo you've got there, we think fell thousands of years ago, but it was only more recently found.
To be exact, it was discovered by us Westerners in 1576 after a Spanish governor learned that the Indians believed that iron was falling from heaven. Intrigued, the governor sent a captain to find these mysterious rocks. and they were found at Campo del Cielo, fittingly translated as Field of the Sky. Since then, over 1,000 tons of this meteorite has been found, and it's believed they fell 4,000 to 6,000 years ago. But where do meteorites like these come from?
They come from a number of different places, but you're quite right. They're lumps of space rock, or if you like, space metal, that are just floating around, they're orbiting around the sun. Now, some of them, especially those rocky, stony ones, are left over from the original solar system formation. So there are bits that just didn't get incorporated into being planets. Or they could be fragments of asteroids. You know, you imagine protoplanets in the early solar system, asteroids now colliding, shattering fragments off. And then you have some which are really exciting, and they're when meteorite has impacted another planetary body. So it's something like the Moon or Mars or, say, Vesta, the largest asteroid in the asteroid belt. And when the meteorite impacts that body, you send, you know, ejecta out. But because things like the Moon, Mars, Vesta don't have so much gravity, not all of it falls back down to the planet. It then goes out into space and starts orbiting the sun, and maybe, you know, millions of years later happens to fall on Earth. So some of these meteorites are bits of Mars. They're bits of the Moon or bits of Vesta.
Oh, are you about to show me a rock from Mars?
This one's a bit of Vesta.
Wow.
Which is actually surprisingly common. If you look at Vesta, I mean, this object that's like 500 kilometres across in the asteroid belt. It looks a bit more like a punctured football. It's got a huge sort of gouge out of the southern pole. And that's, we think, it underwent a huge collision some time ago in its past. So there are lots of fragments of Vesta around. And this is one here.
How do you know that?
You know, because of the mineral makeup. I was telling you, you've got all these different origins for different kinds of meteorites. And looking at the chemical composition of these rocks, you can tell a lot about whether they're pristine parts of the solar nebula or they come from bodies that have undergone what we call geological differentiation. So you've started to have that geological processing, the separation out of the metals and the sort of silicate crust. So when you hold something like your Campo del Cielo that's completely metal, that will have come from the inside of one of these differentiated bodies. So like a small asteroid that was forming or a protoplanet that was forming and got before it got smashed. So you've got a bit of the core part of the asteroid there. A lot of the stony meteorites are much more of the pristine debris left over from the early solar system.
Is it quite rare for this sort of stuff to fall to Earth, or is it quite common?
You have stuff coming to the atmosphere the whole time. You've got millions of meteors happening daily. It's just that most of them are tiny, kind of like, you know, a shooting star you can get from just like thing about the size of a grain of sand. Most disintegrate in the atmosphere, but even so, you get a lot that lands on the Earth or in fact falls into the ocean, probably at a rate of about sort of 15 billion kilograms a year. There's a huge amount of stuff that is just continually piling onto the Earth. You don't look like you believe me.
Well, I was really pleased that we'd won this. And now you're telling me it's not very, I say we, Connie has won this, and it's not even that rare.
They are rare. I mean, it sounds like a lot, but it's in terms of volume and mass of the Earth, it's minuscule. Also, what you've got there is one of the metal ones. They're the rarer ones.
The reason why I ask if it's rare, and I'm glad you said it's rarer, I've got this meteorite for the weekend now. If I was to go away and sell it, what sort of price does this thing fetch?
For the size you've got there, I mean, I would guess about £60 or something.
Oh, it's pretty reasonable.
It's pretty reasonable.
Dinner out?
Well, it also depends on which fall the meteorite comes from. So you can get very particular falls where there are fewer pieces found, or it's a particularly famous fall or something about it. So, for example, a lot of people are interested in the more recent Chelyabinsk meteorite that fell in Russia. If you want a bit of that meteorite, you would get a much higher cost per gram for the meteorite than you would from things that dime a dozen, like the Sikhet Allen, or I'm afraid your Campo del Cielo.
Okay, I won't tell Connie.
don't tell her that.
So why is it then that we're interested in things like 67P, and we've sent out Rosetta and we've seen Philae land on the comet? Why, though, if all this stuff is falling down on Earth all the time?
There's a lot of science you can only do when you're in contact with the astronomical body, like the cometary nucleus, and that was what was important about the Philae lander. And of course, you've got to remember, comets are mostly ice, not just water ice, but also methane ice and ammonia, carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide. If you want to understand the icy part of a comet, you've basically got to go out there.
Caroline Crawford, and out there is precisely where we're going next.